Father, we pray that we might meet with you through your word this morning. Father, we pray that we might have ears that are able to listen. We pray, Father, that we might have hearts that are able to grasp and comprehend. Father, we pray that we might have hearts as well that are willing to do and to apply how you speak to us this day. And so we do pray for Mike. Pray that you might bless his word to us. Pray also for Tom as he's speaking at the Baptist Church this morning in a few minutes' time. Lord, we pray that you might give him your word for that congregation this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Right, if you've got a Bible with you, our reading today is John chapter 18, starting at verse 1. John chapter 18, starting at verse 1. And our title, we're thinking about being betrayed and let down. Betrayed and let down. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches and lanterns and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth. I told you that I am he." Jesus answered, "If you're looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" And then the detachment of soldiers with its commandant and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. And they bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. And Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. Simon Peter and the other disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there and brought Peter in. "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold. The servants and the officials stood round a fire they'd made to keep warm, and Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. We'll move on to verse 25. As Simon Peter stood there warming himself, he was asked, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it, saying, "I am not." And one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a cock began to crow. Let's Let's just pause for a moment. Father God, this is your word. May you speak to us through it now. Amen. Being betrayed and let down. You know, they were both committed Christians, playing a fulfilling part in the life of the local church. They loved to be there. They'd both got really great jobs. Jobs that were going well, well paid, where people looked up to you, respected you. They had two beautiful daughters, a beautiful home, a beautiful, happy marriage. Until that day when she left the family home to go and live with another man. The affair, it seems, had been going on for years. She said to him, "It's not you, it's me." But that didn't take away the sense of utter betrayal. It didn't stop the hurt. And some of you sitting here, I know exactly how that man felt that day his wife left and his beautiful world crashed down. I mean, how do you cope with the anger, the hurt, the confusion, the questions, And there's another side of the story. Another man had been a doctor and a church elder, widely admired and loved both by his patients and his congregation. So many people looked up to this man. A good man who left his wife and his family and his church for his secretary. And many years later, when talking to a Christian friend, he admitted bitterly that the way of the unfaithful is hard. And some here are the betrayer. And even now, you hold a sense of guilt that is unbearable. It's you, and you know it's you. What a lot of pain. What is the answer? Are there any answers? It's just a horrible mess, isn't it? Judas must have talked the talk, but the truth is he was only a Christian for what he could get out of it. Do you know? And for Judas, money was a big deal to him. And we read in the scriptures he was a thief. As a keeper of the disciples' money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it for the mission of Jesus Christ. You know? And at this moment, we read, 30 pieces of silver was the price he'd been given to betray the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But if you read on, you realize that after the betrayal came the dread realization of the consequences of his actions, the searing pain of regret, We read when Judas, who betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "Well, what's that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility. You did it. It's your problem." So Jesus threw the money into the temple and left. And then he went away and hanged himself. You and I, we can repent when we've blown it. You and I, we can confess. We can own up to God and to our fellow Christians. But as Judas discovered, you know, there is no way to undo the consequences of your actions. You can't change what you did. You can't put back the clock, however much you wish you could. Just as the Bible says, can a man scoop fire into his lap without getting burned? You know, you can't undo the consequences of your actions. And sin, the whole thing about sin is it hurts the innocent as well as the guilty. Do you know? That's why it is sin. It's not just your life. It's other people's lives that you're screwing with. That's why it's sin. And the scars can last a lifetime. Why is it that people, Christian people, get sucked into an affair? My personal theory is it's probably flattery. Probably even more than sex, it's the flattery that other person takes an interest in you, finds you attractive. Flattery. James Dobson, and if you've not read his books on family life, may I urge you to, James Dobson says that very rarely does an affair just happen like that and sweep you, you know, off your feet in a second. It's usually taken a lot of time to reach that point of action. Time where a thought comes into your mind, and instead of putting it out, you play with it, you toy with it, and then you return to the safe place. And then it returns, perhaps a word, perhaps a touch, and then you withdraw. Do you know? It's not one big leap, it's a lot of little steps that take you down a road where there is no going back. Flee the devil, the Bible says. Run from him. Don't have a chat with him. Get the heck out of there. Do you know? Maybe you are being tempted right now, toying with unhelpful thoughts, letting the videotape run instead of hitting the stop button. And it's not only men that have affairs. It takes two. If you think you are standing firm, you be careful. No one's fireproof here. You be careful. You don't fall. Don't go to those places where you know it's not safe for you to be. No sin's harmless. None. No sin is going to stay a secret. The Bible says it's going to be shouted from the rooftops one day. There's going to be no divine super injunction that's going to keep it quiet. Do you know? It is. So while you still can, I urge you, run and flee. Get yourself out of that place before it is too late and before things are done that cannot be undone, however much you afterwards regret it. I mean, how do you want those you love to remember you? How do you want people to look back and think about you? As a Judas? As a selfish betrayer? Come on. What do you want? Judas betrayed those who loved and trusted him. Peter's betrayal was a different kind of thing. It was just about fear, wasn't it? For all his brave words earlier on, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew what Peter was made of. He knows what you are made of and me. We're just people. We're not superheroes. When the time of testing came for Peter, he did not have what it took. His resolve vanished. He was lying shamelessly. He was getting himself into it deeper and deeper, swearing that he was no disciple of Jesus, until Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, we read in Luke's gospel, the rooster crowed and the Lord turned. He was being led across the courtyard at that very moment. And he looked straight at Peter. He'd heard it all. He'd heard it all. And Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The Lord Jesus Christ heard every word. My friend, don't you think he's watching you? Don't you think he sees what you say and do in that secret place? Don't you think he knows the hidden thoughts of your heart, the motives, whatever your actions are, that drive you? And when you betray others, Christian, you betray him. And what was the difference between Judas and Peter? Both betrayed Jesus, both let him down, but Judas hanged himself, and Peter received Jesus' forgiveness and went on to do wonderful, great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. There, on a beach on the shores of the Lake of Galilee, after the cross, the risen Lord Jesus Christ fed, forgave, and reinstated that same Peter. He picked him up, and today he picks up the fallen Christian. He reinstates. He forgives. He forgives it all. Do you know? He knew you were going to do it because he knows you. He knows what you're made of. He knows what I'm made of. He knows where our weaknesses are as well as our strength. He knows. And the Lord Jesus Christ was sent out to rescue and redeem a fallen world with a message of love and forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ does not use sinless saints. He calls you and I to be perfect, but he knows we are not. All have sinned, the scripture says, and fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. But he still wants to use you, warts and all. Isn't that wonderful? And he came to forgive you, to redeem you, warts and all. My message this morning is there is a redeemer. My message is that if we confess our sins to him today, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you see any exception? Is there a sin listed there that is unforgivable? Is there? Do you know this society has unforgivable sins? It does. It seems you can be a murderer, but you can't be a paedophile. Did you notice that? There is no forgiveness for the paedophile in our world today. Now, I'm not saying that's not a terrible thing, but I'm saying there is a redeemer. And you and I, if we are Christians, need to take upon ourselves his values and not this world's. Don't get sucked in. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. One day, some years ago, I had to take a trip to Portsmouth to collect some stuff. And there in the store, just by chance, God's chance, I found myself in conversation with a man that had abused me as a child. A paedophile. Since that day, so long ago, he had come to faith in Christ. I knew he had. And as I spoke to him and he told me of what was happening to him, I discovered he was seriously ill. He had cancer. And as we parted after our conversation, he held out his hand. What would you do, Christian? There is only one thing for the Christian to do. I took his hand and I shook it warmly. You see, the moment he turned over his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he received the forgiveness of the cross, all sin. And if the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven him, then I must forgive him too. What prayer did the Lord Jesus Christ teach you and me? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What measure of forgiveness do you want? Total? You need it. Then that is how we must forgive. And why does it matter? Do you get blessed carrying that bitterness inside? That bitter root that the Bible says will grow inside you and poison every thought and every waking moment until, by God's grace, you let it go. As forgiven people, knowing that total forgiveness. No matter how we've screwed up and no matter what we've done, we can forgive too and be free of that bitterness. Healed. And yes, I know it doesn't take away those consequences, but what a difference it makes to the way we cope with them. And that man whose hand I shook, shortly afterwards I heard that he'd died and gone to be with his Lord Jesus in glory. And I will join him there one day. And we will be there for a long, long time together. No sin is unforgivable, no matter what you've done or what they've done to you. There is, my friends, a redeemer.
Perhaps the musicians could come back and join us. And it might be good just to, perhaps as they pray through, play through a song that we're going to sing that, in a sense, connects with the reference that Mike made there at the end about there is a Redeemer. It might be good as they play through that quietly for us to reflect and to ask, well, if we know what God has been saying to us, whether it be that we are the betrayer or the betrayed, the one who's let down or the one who has been let down. And the truth is we could probably put ourselves into all of those categories in different ways, couldn't we? Just to come before the Lord, as it were, with those situations. And to say, Lord, I don't just want to stay in, I don't want to have these things in a sense as baggage that I drag along. Yes, there may be consequences that we can't undo, but as Mike said, just as we talked about, I preached on David, didn't I, and a few weeks back, and his failure. There was terrible consequences for that failure, but there was forgiveness for David when he accepted and recognized his sin. And so let's just have a time of quiet. Play that through for us, Becky, and then we'll sing it together in a minute.